Good morning, and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to be glad and rejoice in it. Amen? What I want to do as we get into the Word of God, so today's text is going to be taken from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. While you're doing that, I'm also going to invite all of the women who have brought their oil to just come and place it here on the communion table. Okay? So if you have brought some oil, just come place it on the table. The conclusion of the sermon, I will be praying and consecrating the oil. I'm going to ask our usher, if any come in during the course of the service, just tell them to wait, and at the end, then they'll have an opportunity to bring up their oil as well. Amen. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. And begin at verse 1, just going to look at a handful of verses there. And then we're going to add to the witness out of Psalms, the 92nd Psalms. Beginning at verse 10. So again, 2 Kings 4 and 1. Then we're going to add to the witness out of the 92nd Psalm, beginning at verse 10. Amen. And if you're there, you'll see these words. Said a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." Right? So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him, shut the door behind her, the sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." And so the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Amen? So let's add to the witness out of Psalms quickly. Psalms 92 and 10. Says, "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also have seen my desire on my enemies, And my ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. It's a good word, right? It's a good word. All month long, I've been preaching out of the fourth chapter of 2 Kings. Began the month by talking about a mother's hospitality. How that leads to blessing. Last Sunday, we talked about a mother's faith, and how that leads to blessing, right? And this Sunday, I just want to talk about a mother's oil and how that, too, can lead to a blessing. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. For that reason and that reason alone, we give you praise. From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, your name, the name of God, shall be praised. So we thank you for the opportunity we have this Sunday. We come here gathered in this place with the same agenda and the same focus of mind. We come into the house of God as empty vessels, desiring that you would pour out into us the oil of God, that we might be consecrated and anointed for your service, for your glory, and for your purpose. So to that end, God, sanctify us. Give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and open our heart wide to receive the things of God. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated all over the church. Anointing oil. It is mentioned some 20 times in Scripture. And it was used in the Old Testament for pouring on the head of the high priest and his descendants, and also for sprinkling the tabernacle and its furnishings to mark them as holy and set apart unto the Lord. Three times it is called the holy anointing oil, and the Jews were strictly forbidden from reproducing it for personal use. The recipe for the anointing oil is found in Exodus chapter 30, verses 23 and 24. Care to look it up. It contained myrrh and cinnamon and other natural ingredients. And there is no indication that the oil or its ingredients had any supernatural power. Rather, the strictness of the guidelines for creating the oil was a test of obedience of the Israelites and a demonstration of the absolute holiness of God. Are you with me? Some of you guys, in preparation for this week, asked me about some background on the anointing oil, right? So I'm giving you some background before we get into the sermon. That's just some background. You got Exodus 30, all in there, Exodus 25, Leviticus 8, Numbers chapter 4. You can go there and read about the anointing oil. how they made it, what it was comprised of. We talked about the ingredients, what its use and purpose was. Again, you can have that. Its significance, right, in terms of the life of the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. So you have that, right? So I'm just giving you some background. There are also a few New Testament passages which refer to the practice of anointing with oil, and none of them offer an explanation for its use. It just appears. You see it. We can draw conclusions from their context. In Matthew 6:17, Jesus mentions the everyday practice of anointing oneself with oil, right? Mark 6, verse 13, the disciples anoint the sick and heal them, right? There's another use, right? In all four Gospels, a woman anoints Jesus as a sacrificial act of worship before the crucifixion, right? Her story is recorded in all four Gospels. James chapter 5, verse 14, the church elders anoint the sick with oil for healing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, God says to Christ as he returns triumphantly to heaven, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And God anoints Jesus with the oil of gladness. Okay? I'm just giving this to you. I'm doing the homework for you, right? So you have that. These are places you can go, both the Old and New Testament, and find some context on the anointing oil. Now, let's draw our attention to the text that we have in front of us today, right? And let's examine it and this mother's oil and how God used it to bless her and her sons. Are you with me? Starts out by saying a certain woman was a wife of one of the prophets, sons of the prophets. And she came to the man of God. She came to the prophet of God, Elisha, and she said, your servant, my husband, is dead. Now, I don't think she was informing Elisha of something he was not aware of. If he was a son, one of the sons of the prophet, Elisha knew full well that he had passed. But her emphasis is rather on the second statement, the second part of her statement. And she says, here, she says, you know that your servant feared the Lord. And now the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. It was customary and allowable in Jewish history, Jewish tradition, that if there was a debt owed, right, and if a man was unable to pay and died owing a debt, it was lawful, right, for the creditor, right, in exchange or in an attempt to repay that open debt, to take the man's sons, right? Say, you now come and work for me until your father's debt is paid off. Right? It was an allowable custom, right? If you read up and study on it, the only thing that kind of prohibited or put reins around this is that the Jews were not allowed to hold anyone indebted to them in the year of Jubilee, right? If you know your history, Jewish history, the year of Jubilee is the 50th year, right? So regardless of where they were in that repayment process, when you came up to the year of Jubilee, all debts were canceled, right? So depending on what the debt is and how much and all that. And so this woman, this widow, comes to Elijah, said, you know my husband, right? You know how faithful he was to you, faithful he was to God, right? But he died in debt. And now the creditors are coming and seeking repayment in the form of my two sons, of my sons. Doesn't say two, just his sons, right? Despite his life for God, this guy still had debt. Right? I thought I'd get more amens on that, right? So let's reverse engineer it and go the other way. How many of you love the Lord? Man, I was nervous for him. I said, if these jokers don't lift their hands, I'm definitely going to the church down the street. I'm just going to walk out. I'm like, where the pastor going? You love the Lord, but you still have debt. Still own your house. Still own your car. Still own your credit card, student. I mean, you love the Lord. Faithful, right? But as you go forward in life, you still have debt. So I'm just raising that because this is a family every last one of us in here can what? Relate to. This ain't no Bible story. Oh yeah, Pastor, no. This story is happening today. This woman is sitting in this seat right here. They're all of you, right? Love the Lord, faithful, serving in the church, serving in the ministry. But what? Still trying to manage life. Right? And like the majority of Americans, right? We're all what? Carrying debt. And now her husband has died, the primary breadwinner, and now the collection calls begin to happen. And she withstood it for a while. But now it's to a point where she can't bear it anymore. And so she goes to the man of God. Right? Verse 2. And so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Elijah said, okay, how can I help? And so he says, tell me, what do you have in the house? Right? She said, I have nothing in my house but a jar of oil. Right? The whole sermon hinges on that verse. You get this verse, you're down the road. It's the nail right in the center. The whole sermon is just resting on that one nail. Let's look at it. The first thing he says, tell me, what do you have in the house? Every Christian, every born again believer, blood washed, Holy Ghost filled believer must answer that question. What do you have in your house? Are you with me? And might I remind you that our house is not our address, but our house is our bodies, which serve as the temple or dwelling place of God and the Holy Spirit. I wish I had a real church sign. I'm telling you, if you get this verse, you'll unlock the whole sermon. If you don't, you'll be in the back somewhere trying to figure it out. Elijah says to her, tell me what you have in your house, right? As your pastor, I'm asking you to take an inventory of what God has given you and tell me what you have in your house. I wish I had a real church. I had an old preacher tell me this one time, and I found it over the years to be true. God gives everybody something to fight with. You'll never go in battle with God empty-handed. I wish I'd tell you, boy, if I had a church, Sister Mary, I'd preach this. If I had a real church. God never leaves his son or daughter empty-handed going in. God will always give you something to fight with. Samson found himself in a fight for his life, outnumbered. And the story tells us that Samson had absolutely nothing to fight. No sword, no spear, no shield. Nothing to fight. And the Bible said he looked over his shoulder and saw what? A jawbone of an ass. God had what? Gave him something to fight with. Said, yeah. The battle is here. Yeah, but I'm going to give you something. It may not look like much, and it may not be much, but we used to sing a song in the old church, little is much when God is in it. So that's the challenge today. If you don't do anything else today, answer that question. When you go down in prayer, Lord, show me what you have given me to fight with. The Shunammite woman fought with her hospitality. It worked for her. The Shunammite woman fought with her faith. What? And it worked for her. This widow woman fights with a small bottle of oil. When she answers the question, she almost missed it. Because she told the man of God, I have nothing in the house. That's what she said. Nothing in the house. This is me talking. This is implied information, not specified in the text. The way I looked at it, saying she had creditors, she had begun to sell what she had to pay down what she owed, and has now sold everything that was of value in her house. So she told the man, which prompted her to go to the man of God. She said, I'm spent out. I don't have anything in my house. If she would have stopped there, she and her sons would have surely perished. Right? She would have perished. Right? But thanks be to God, she realized, she said, I got one thing. It's not much. It's not anything. She said, but I do have a jar of oil. If y'all don't shout off that, y'all just ain't gonna shout. Just lay down and just get a pillow and take a nap. She gave an accurate physical assessment. That if she took a physical inventory of her house, she didn't have anything. Gave the camels, sold the camels, right? Sold the pots and plates. I mean, just down the bare bones. So she wasn't lying to the man of God. She said, I have nothing left. But then she took a spiritual inventory and said, I do have some oil. Lord Jesus, help me. Here it is. Verse 3. If you got that, the sermon is yours. Here's verse 3. And so the man of God said, go. Lord. Pay attention to what God says. Listen to what he says. Go, borrow vessels, meaning pots, cups, anything that you can get that can hold oil. All right? He said, go. Look at what he said. Borrow vessels from where? Everywhere. All right? He's saying, cast what? Cast a wide net. Don't just go to your girlfriend. No, 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 no. He's saying, go everywhere. Go to people you know and people you don't. Get as many vessels as you can. What he says, he said, borrow vessels everywhere from all your neighbors. Look, are you reading it? What kind of vessels? Empty vessels. He didn't specify big vessels, small vessels. He didn't specify pretty vessels, ugly vessels. He said there's only one condition on the vessel. They must be empty. Anybody know why? I'm going to tell you why. God works best. I wish I had a real church. He works best with empty vessels. Because if the vessels are not empty, then we will say that it was by our power, it was by our might. Are you with me this Sunday? So I want you to get this, because you got to be where the world. Sometimes in life, God has to empty you out. If I sit down now, and I done preached enough for 2 months. If I sat down, I'd be like, man, the pastor preached today. That joker stood up there flat-footed. And sometimes in our Christian journey, God will empty you out. Why? Because he works best. God, I wish I had a real church. Here it is. He said, empty vessels, right? And then he said, and I love this. This is for me. This is for preachers. He said, do not gather few. Did you get it? You got to be empty, right? But then he said this. He said, get as many vessels as you can. Is that doing anything to anybody? Make sure they're empty. And then get as many as you can possibly get. He said, get them. Your blessing is going to be connected to your faith and your obedience. Are you hearing me? So how much oil can you have? You can have as much oil as you gather vessels to hold. I got one person in my, all I need is, I don't need a whole church. Some preachers need a whole church. You can have as much as you can hold. So if you just want a little blessing, then just get a few vessels. But if you want a big blessing, if you need God to do something extraordinary, the onus is not on God. It is on you. Your faith is demonstrated by the number of vessels you bring in the house. Now look, the man of God already told her, he said what, go everywhere. He already told her from the go everywhere, ask people you know, ask people you don't know. He said, look, ask people you like. He said, ask people you don't like. He said, ask people that like you, and then ask people that don't. He said, look, he said, you got to understand, God is getting, I got to quit, Norm. Isaiah 1:19 says this. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So that's all you got to be. You got to be willing, what? To go everywhere. To ask everybody. And all you got to do is be obedient. Make sure they're empty. Don't let nobody give you something that's got something already. Not that one. I'll take these two. That stuff, no, you got something in there already. I don't want that. Why? Because God works best in empty vessels. Here it is. He said, when you've come in from being out, you're out, the boys are out, you're in the neighborhood, you're in the community, in the street, going everywhere. So when you've got everything, all that you can get, he said, come in the house. And then he says these words. He said, shut the door behind you and your sons. Once you've demonstrated that you are willing and obedient by going out everywhere, getting as many vessels as you can, right? So when you're finished, so I want you to come in the house. I want you to shut the door. And so she went, I'm getting ahead of myself. Shut the door behind you. And then he said, pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. He's cluing her in on what God's going to do. Come in. When you get in, shut the door. And he said, take that little bottle of oil. And he said, I want you to start pouring the oil into the empty vessel. That's all you got to do. You've already done the hard part, which is your part. Why? Because we're oftentimes unfaithful, right? We don't believe God can do it. So we what? We have to do. And what I'm trying to tell you this Sunday, don't fool around with God. Don't have to do and get half a blessing. I'm trying to tell you, go all the way out. Do as much as you can humanly possible do to bring in vessels. Because once you get inside, now here's the key. Any time, and y'all should have got this from the last couple of Sundays. Any time you shut the door, it is a sign that what? Last two sermons, 2 Kings chapter 4, just in our immediate memory, Bible's full of it. Every time God worked, he worked behind. I'm not, this stuff is, you just, it's in your Bible. Read the Shunammite woman. Every time God blessed her, he did what? He closed the door. Because any time, you ever been driving down the street and they got the big orange signs that says what? Men at work. Anytime you see a closed door. Now, wait a minute. I get why nobody got excited over that. Because life has conditioned us, even as believers, that we want to see open doors. Right? The Shunammite woman saw that open door and heard what the man of God said. She said, don't lie to me. Don't play around. Don't do that. What? Because we all want what? Open door. I preached that open door concept 2 Sundays ago, and all of y'all went out here dancing. Because everybody wants open doors. Lord, open the door. Make a way. We're conditioned to believe in open doors. This is why this sermon is more challenging, because now I'm trying to recondition you that the best doors are. You know what my mom used to tell me? She said, when the door is closed, that means what? Do not disturb. Don't bother. When doors close in your life, I want you as the believer to then start getting excited. Oh my God. The door's closed. Look how crazy my sister is. My sister interviewing for a job. All of this, she's going all over, reading all this old crazy stuff. So I'm going for the interview. I said, okay, I'm praying for you. She went for the interview. Day or two later, whatever it was, she sent me a text back and said, I didn't get the job.
Yeah.
You were on that thread.
Yeah.
She sent me a text back. Most times we want to get a text back that says, what? Hey, I got the job. Emoji, emoji, clap hand, clap hand. She sent back a text. Norm, she said, I didn't get the job. Emoji, emoji, clap hand, clap hand. Now look, I'm the preacher in the family, and I didn't know what she was doing. I'm like, what in the world? She said this. God must have something better. I wish I had a real church. Oh my goodness. That's what she said. Because she has learned that the best doors are closed doors. Because closed doors means God is at work. Why won't somebody give the Lord a praise? So here it is. She left the man of God, went back to her house. She shut the door and she commanded her sons, bring me the vessels. And she began to pour out. And she poured out the oil. Might I remind you, I'm thinking about it now, Lil. You wouldn't have done it if I asked you anyway, but I'm just thinking about it. We should have had the church covered with what? Empty pots.
Yeah.
All of it, we should have just, and I could have just walked through it. Just seeing that, you would have got to, you like, Pastor, I got to serve. All she had is a little bottle of oil. And a living room full of empty vessels. The Bible says she just, one by one, She just began to pour out. The bottle of oil should have been emptied, known in the first vessel.
Yeah.
It's only a little bit of oil.
Yeah.
They had big vessels, small vessels, medium vessels, fat. The very first vessel, she should have emptied. That would have been it. Okay, I don't know what I'm doing. But the text said she began to pour out the oil. And it kept pouring. She went to the next one. She kept, it poured out again. And the woman noticed something. The oil is not running out. Good God, help me please. You hear what I'm saying? The door was shut. God was working. And God stirred the oil so that the oil would not fail to run dry. No. That's what you call anointing oil. When God stirs it up and it refuses to run dry. What did the text say? So she went in, closed the door, and she began to pour out the oil. Genesis 2:18 says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper that is comparable to him. Now get this. Every Sunday, I've been striving to give you one key sentence. Every sermon, I've been trying, this is the key sentence. So here it is, this Sunday, here's this Sunday. Get this. This is important. Women, God created you to be a helper. That's how he designed you. Just wait, that's what it is. Genesis 2:18. That's when he designed you, that's what he had. I'm crafting someone, and I'm going to design them and build them to be a helper. So women, get this. You help the best when you pour out of yourself and into the lives of others. Are you with me? I'm going to say it again. Women, he designed you to be helpers. People say, what did you have in mind when you made that? God said, I have a helper. That's why they're built like this, shaped like this. Because I designed them to be a helper. So as a woman, you are at your best when you pour out of yourself and into the life of someone else. You want to see a woman's face light up? Let her help somebody. I'm telling you the truth. You're built that way. You are at your the highest you could be is when you give of yourself into the life of someone else. I pray to God that you're with me in the spirit. Because if you're with me in the spirit, I want you to see it. As a woman, you're at your best when you pour out of yourself and in to the life of someone else. So why don't you ask me the question you want to ask me? the question that every woman asks is this. If I pour out of myself into the life of someone else, I will eventually go empty. Pastor, who is going to pour back into me? Every woman wants to know that answer. That's why as wives you get frustrated with your husbands. Why? Because they don't pour back enough. That's why you get strained relationships with your kids. Why? You give your life for them and they take it and leave. You get frustrated. I gave them what? The best years. And they take it. They go off to college. They get married. They get new wives, new kids, and they go on about their lives. And I hate, let's get in the sermon. Fellas, get in the sermon. Hey, we in the sermon now. Get this. No matter what you and the boys do on Mother's Day, hear me, it will never be enough. I'm just telling you that. Because you think I'm telling you, it will never be enough. Doesn't matter how much it costs. Doesn't matter where you took them. Doesn't matter if it was for a weekend or a week. I'm telling you. Listen to me. It will never be enough. And if you don't believe me, look at the faces of the women in this church. You don't have to believe me. Believe their faith in response to it. It will never. I'm just telling you what it is. They don't want to say it, but I'm saying it on their behalf. No matter what we do, no matter how much we do it, it will never be. They will always go empty. So now, we got a real problem. If God has designed them to pour out, and as a husband, a son, a daughter, a friend, a colleague, I'm not able to sufficiently pour back in, eventually, this woman is going to run out. Because what's going out is greater than what's coming in. Just a matter of time. And you look around you, you see it all the time. Women running out in their 20s. Women's in their 30s running out. She's only 38, she ran out. Women's in their 40s, what? They just run out. Don't have nothing left. 50s, they just run out. Just like what happened? They just ran out. We got a real problem on our hands. And our problem is our misunderstanding of God's purpose and plan. It was never meant to be my job, nor my son's job, nor your daughter's job, nor your mother's job, friends, family. It was never our job. My church grew 100%. I went from one member, now I got two. She said it was never our job to fill you back up. I'm going to ask you one question. Who made you? Who created you?
Who knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb? It wasn't me. It wasn't your son. God knew you. God created you. And God takes responsibility. Look how much bigger God's job. You pouring out. I give it to you. You pouring out. And you do this enough, you'll run out. But God said, it's my job. What's the key phrase? My church has grown 300% in what you go to work on Monday. You tell my church grew 300%. One pastor preached one sermon. It is God's responsibility to fill your, now most of you would have said vessel, and you would have gotten half credit. Because God works best in empty vessels. That's why he designed you to empty. You're at your best when you give it all away. That's when you really, that's when you in the anointing. When you just what? Give it all. That woman went in, she closed that door and said, I'm going to pour it all out. Whatever gets filled, gets filled. Whatever does, she said, but before I open that door again, I'm going empty. The more oil she poured out, the more oil God poured in. And in that closed room, watch this. Women will get it. Men won't, but women will get it. God created a cycle. I wish I had women in my church. A saved woman would take this sermon out of my hand. They said, that's enough, Pastor. That's enough. You fooling around now. He created a what? A cycle. That as long as the widow woman kept pouring out, the more God kept pouring in. The only thing that stopped the blessing from flowing in her life, look what verse 6 says. She all over the living room, just pouring out. Oh my God. Just pouring. The oil. Boys, look. The oil is still going. So she finally got to a boy. She said, boy, bring me another vessel. Find me somebody I can keep pouring my life out into them. Till finally the boy said, Mom, there are no more vessels. Look what the text says. And the oil ceased. That's when it ended. God didn't end. The vessels ended. Now you see why Elijah said what? Don't get just a few vessels. The more vessels you get. Let me give you the key to the sermon. Here it is. The more people you pour into, the more oil God is going to pour into you. Here's my message to the church. The anointing on all this. Because I said, women, you deal with it every day. It is the spirit of frustration. And when you just boil it down, you're just frustrated because you pour out. And you look to the wrong people to pour back in. What you need is the oil. Did you read Psalms 92 and 10? Right? He has anointed my head with what? Fresh oil. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need more consecration. You need more private prayer. You need to spend more time. Listen to what I'm going to say closely. With the only person who can fill you back up. It's not your husband. It's not your companion. It's not your pet. It's not your children. Not your best girlfriend. But God. He created you. He shaped you and he formed you. The way that he wanted you to be. And at this stage in your life, what you need to do more than anything else is follow direction. That's where the frustration comes. You ever try to put together something and you can't get it? The early years of my boy's life, I did it every Christmas. Because as guys, we do what? We jump in the floor, take it out, and what? Started putting it together, what? Our own self. We just discard the instructions. Why? Because we men. Think we know what we're doing. And it's only after an hour, right? During which mom has cooked breakfast for everyone else. Now comes out, takes her apron off, right? All everybody crying, everybody upset. You've got the toy, but it won't work. And the mother's the only one in the whole house with enough sense to say this. Bring me what? The direction. Guys, we all down the road. We done brought in a drill from the garage and all it needs is batteries. I got my drill. Plug it up. Plug it. But a woman comes in and says, what? Hand me the direction. Today, to every woman, I have just handed you God's direction, instructions for your life. You hear the words of the man of God. Your frustrations will end today. Because you'll stop putting that weight on your husband and on your son and on your father. You're making them, you're trying to get them to do something they're not built to do. God is your God. He's the one that made you. Why not go back to him? And I'm telling you, all he's going to do is just hand you the instructions. That's all you need. Nothing new. It's the same thing. And what you'll find in those instructions is just what I'm telling you today. His instructions for the woman is simple. Just pour out. That's all you got to do. The more you pour out, I'm telling you the more God will pour in. And the widow woman is your proof. Are you with me? That's the word of God for you. That's why I had you bring the oil. It's not your oil that's important. What's important is God's oil. And I'm telling you, He wants to pour it out into you. But you got to go empty. Most women today, most men today, they don't want to risk going empty. Did that before, I didn't like it. So I'll go down the road, but I'm not going to risk everything. And that's exactly what God wants. You hold the key to blessing in the lives of so many people. You're God's vessel. And He has you right where He wants you. And all He needs you to do is trust Him. That if you just pour out in Jesus' name, God told me you're going to pour back in there. God told me to tell you that if you keep pouring out, He said His oil will never run dry. But He said, the moment you stop, He said, the oil stops. So my message to you is same as the prophet told the widow woman. Find as many vessels as you can. What are the vessels? People's lives. The Bible says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come. That's your job, go! The more people you reach, the more people you touch, the more the anointing oil is going to flow in your life. The Word of God says, you have not. Ask for more vessels. Let that be your prayer tonight. God, give me more vessels. Show me more. Open my eyes so that I can see those that are in need, those that are hurting, those that are broken, those that are destitute. Maybe I can make a sense. Maybe you'll stir my hospitality. Maybe you'll stir my faith. Maybe you'll stir the oil in my house. And that which was once dead shall live again. Why? Because the oil is flowing. The oil is flowing. Shall we all stand? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up these bottles of oil before you. We dedicate it to your holy purposes, and we ask that you sanctify it. with your power. Even as we sanctify our own bodies unto you, Lord Jesus. And make this oil be a symbol of your presence, your healing, your deliverance, and protection to all who are anointed by it. May it carry your anointing. And may it break every yoke in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Good God, in Jesus' name. Your name, Jesus. Your name, Jesus. Stir the oil again. Anoint us with fresh oil. Lord, help us. The anointing. The anointing oil of God. Let it flow fresh. Hallelujah. From the crown of our head down to our beard, down to the hem of our garments. Help us to pour out, God. Pour out into empty vessels. Hallelujah. And when we go empty, God, pour from heaven the anointing oil. And fill us again and again and again and again and again and again. And again, and again. Don't ever let the oil run dry. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give your name the highest praise. Come on, let's worship the Lord all over the sanctuary. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? The Lord is good. Yes, he is. Let God stir the oil in your house. From this day forward, whatever comes against you, your house, your family, I'm telling you, all you got to do is put the oil on it. I'm telling you what I know. The magic is not in the oil. The magic is in your God. The oil is nothing more than a sign. I believe God. That's all it is. This is just my sign. I believe God. And as a sign of my faith, I'm just going to pour the oil out. I'm going to let God fix it. I'm going to shut the door. And I'm going to leave it in God's hand. Why? The oil. The oil. The oil. That's what God gave me. He gave me the oil. All the widow woman had. All you will ever need. The oil.
That's all you need. You got it. It's yours. Now use it in the name of Jesus Christ and for His glory. And if you do that, I'm telling you, the oil will never